The Mishnah and the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, teach us that when it comes to Edim giving testimony, they have to give testimony on what they exactly saw. They can't give what is known as circumstantial evidence. As the Gemara teaches us, Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Mu'umad, what is the definition of an Edis that is not exact? Amalahem Shema Kach Re'isim, the Bezdin says to the Edim, maybe all you saw was Shirotz Achrei Chaveri L'Churva, that you saw somebody run after somebody else into a Churva, V'ratz Dam Achrav, and you ran after them, U'mitzosam Saif B'yodoy, and you found a knife in the hand of the perpetrator, V'domay Metafdeif, and blood is on that, fresh blood is on that knife, V'horug Mefarpar, and the person who, the victim is laying there stabbed, Imkach Re'isem, if you saw that, Loi Re'isem Klum, and the Gemara, in fact, brings the story of Rav Shimon ben Shotach, where such a situation happened. V'mati loy roshimi hagul zeh, and Rav Shimon ben Shotach said to this perpetrator, "Who is the murderer here? Oy ani ata, it's either me or you. We're the only two people here, and I know I didn't do it. Avamai esa she'ein dam chamos b'yodei. I can't do anything about it." Because the halacha says, "Shariyam retire with the Torah Kedosh said, Apishnei Edim Yumas Hames. Only when Edim know exactly what happened can they say testimony." However, he said, "Hayodeya machshavus yipara ma'ose ish shaharagis chaveri. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will take his revenge." And it's interesting. I saw that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos Loisa say Reis Tzaddik explains why is the Torah so specific in teaching us that circumstantial evidence is not acceptable under any circumstances? Because sometimes, indeed, like the example, the story, the episode that the Gemara just gave, it's quite obvious what happened. It's quite obvious who the murderer is. However, if we're going to begin, says the Rambam, to accept circumstantial evidence, then even in situations where it's not that obvious, we're also going to accept the circumstantial evidence. Says the Rambam, the Torah would prefer that even in this situation that we are learning about, the guilty perpetrator go free, versus Chas V'Shalom, there'd be a situation where the reverse would happen, where the innocent person would be declared guilty. The Gemara continues with a discussion. What is the halacha by Dinei Mamonis? We've clearly indicated that by Dinei Nefashis, we don't accept circumstantial evidence. What is the halacha by Dinei Nefashis? And it's interesting to point out, there's a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchas Niske Momin, Perik Ches, Halach Yudalit, paskins like the Rabbonim, who disagree with Rav Acha, who's mentioned in our sugya, and the Rambam holds, She'edim eini mechoyim lahomed al-pi amdas. Even when it comes to financial situations, circumstantial evidence is not accepted. On the other hand, if we look in Hilchas Choyvel Amazik, Perik Hei, Halacha Hei, Rambam says that you can rely on circumstantial evidence where we know for sure, even though we didn't exactly see this person hurt someone else, but we know it couldn't have been done any other way, that the halacha is that we rely on that circumstantial evidence. So how do we understand the opinion of the Rambam? So the Achronim want to suggest that by Din and Nefashis, as we've learned in the Mishnah, as we started out today, circumstantial evidence is never accepted under any circumstances. But when it comes to Dine Mominus, there the Rambam wants to differentiate between very serious, significant, obvious circumstantial evidence, which would be acceptable, versus circumstantial evidence, which is not 100% clear, that there we won't accept. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch regarding this halacha, so we look in the Shulchan Aruch Chayshim Mishpat Simen Tef Ches, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Hanazokim Mishtalmim Elo Beraya Berura. We can't accept, we won't even accept payment of finances only with clear evidence or be'edim ksherim. Ve'emekam ma'edis, continues the Ramah, we won't accept edim unless the baldin, in front of El Bafnei Baldin, as we learned already in the first parak of our Masechta, for edis to be accepted, it has to be in front of the baldin. Afolo ha'yuhu ve'edif cholim, it makes no difference. So the Shulchan Aruch is very clear that in order to accept edis, it has to be non-circumstantial evidence. I saw a tshuva for a Moshe Zatzal in the Shal's tshuva's Igros Moshe, Chelik Aleph, Simen Mem Zayin. Ramosha discusses a situation where apparently he was the dying at a Din Torah, where it seems, the way I understand the story, was there were two partners in the catering business. And one partner was accusing the other partner of stealing from the business. And Ramosha says, unless we have very clear evidence of what happened, even though there's a number of different things that we saw that could perhaps be identified as raya, that there was stealing going on, says Rav Moshe, I cannot accept that because it's not definitive. Moreover, I saw from the Shal Sechuvas HaRamatz, Yerudei Simen Yur Ois Hei, that we know the halacha always requires two edim. So the Ramatz discusses the situation, but what's going to be the halacha if we'll have an eid echad? We'll have an eid echad, but the eid echad will not just be an eid echad, there'll also be reglayim ledover. There'll be strong circumstantial evidence that something happened here. Says the Ramatz, if we're learning now that you need to have clear evidence, so circumstance and the eid echad we also know is not enough, so we can't go make our own combinations and say, well, eid echad and reglayim ledover should equal two edim. Two edim means two edim, and otherwise it won't be acceptable. The Shas Chuvis, Shvus Yaakov, in Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Samaches, discusses the following situation. Reuven and Shimon were sharing a room over Shabbos. In those days, apparently, people would go like with a cash box, like a safe. One of them had such a box, and he needed to take something out of it on Shabbos. So he opened up the box to take out whatever he had in there. And while the box was opened, he got called to come out to the street. He was needed. Somebody called him outdoors. So he quickly ran out, and he forgot to close the box. When he realized, he came back to the room, and he saw, he had a feeling that something was removed from the box. But because it was Shabbos, he couldn't count the money. He had a bad feeling that some money was stolen from the backs. But because it was Shabbos, he obviously couldn't count the money in the backs. Motzei Shabbos, he opened up, he started counting his money, and he saw that a significant amount of money was missing. And then he checked his roommate's pockets, and he saw that his roommate has that amount of money in his one of his pockets. And nobody else was in the room besides Reuven when he ran out to the street all of a sudden. So you have very strong reason to believe that Reuven had stolen that money from him. And the question that's posed to the Shvus Yaakov is, can he rely to make at least Reuven have to swear that he hadn't stolen anything from him? And the Shvus Yaakov says, if there's an umdun gedoyla, there's very strong circumstantial evidence that this is indeed what happened here, we can make him swear. There's a tshuva in the Shalos Tshuva Stovev Mishorim, Chele Gimel Samen Lamed Ches. The issue that he discusses there, where there was a yeshiva that needed to hire a new Rosh Yeshiva. And they hired a Rosh Yeshiva from overseas, from far away, who came to live where the yeshiva had hired him. But it's not working out. He's not getting along with the administration of the yeshiva. And the question is that he discusses, there was no contract between the Rosh Yeshiva and the new yeshiva. And the question is, can we say that they can't let him go because we have an umdan gedoyla that he only took this position because he knew he would have a lifetime position? Or do we say, since there's no contract, there is no lifetime obligation? And the Chabina Rav Zatzal seems to take the position here too, that we will rely on Umdana Gedoyla. On the other hand, I saw a tshuva from Rav Adya Yosef Zatzal, and the Shalos Tshuvos Yabia Oimer Chelek Zayin Choshe Mishpat Simen Ches. The question that was discussed there, there's a husband who demanded his wife get divorced from him because his wife had been left alone with a coworker or an employer, and he's therefore accusing his wife that she had adulterous relationship with her employer. The wife is denying that she did anything inappropriate, and the husband says that I demand that my wife take a polygraph. My wife take a polygraph test, to a lie detector test, to see if she's saying the truth or not. And Beis Din, apparently the way the Shaila goes there, had already the lower court had paskined that there's no reason to send her to a polygraph test. She's mutter to her husband. This husband is still trying to appeal that decision. And the question is, can he demand, based on the circumstances, based on what he considers circumstantial evidence that we can, that he could make this demand. So first, Rabbi Avadia Yosef goes into discussion, which is not really our subject in our shiur today, of Ein Oisrim Ala Yichud. We can't declare a wife prohibited to her husband based on the fact that she was misyachid with a man that she wasn't allowed to be misyachid. But then he goes into the entire discussion of relying on a lie detector test to paskin, to make a decision. So he says, since lie detector tests are not 100% accurate, because there's a lot of different factors that are involved in the results of a polygraph test. It depends on the person's personality. It depends on the person's blood pressure. And then going into our Gemara, where in our Gemara, as we quoted at the beginning of our shiur, we never rely on an umdana. And here, it's not just an umdana for dine mamnis. It's an umdana for dine nefashis. It's a shiloh of an eshes ish. Our Gemara was very clear that we don't rely on umdana for dine nefashis. And therefore, he says, a lie detector test would not be in any way required or have any standing in halacha. In fact, he quotes a Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Aleph Amabez. The Gemara says, Bikish Kehelis Limtza Divrei Chayfetz. Explains the Gemara, Bikish Kehelis Lodin Dinim Shebelev. He wanted, Kehelis Shlema Melech was the Chochem Bikol Adam. He was the wisest of all people. So he wanted to be able to paskin Dinei Torah, Shloi B'Edim, V'Shloi Basra, because he knew what's doing in people's heart. He knew the truth. Yotza Baskol V'Amraloi. V'ksoiv yoshe divrei emes, apishnei odom yokim dover. There were, the edus is only paskind on pishnei edim, saying testimony. Anything else is not acceptable. I, Rav Avadia Yosef himself, goes into a discussion that the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that the throne of Shlomo HaMelech had two lions, and if false witnesses came, they would catch them that way. So he says it wasn't that they were determined to be false witnesses that way. It was only to determine, says Rabbi Avadia Yosef, to get them to be honest, but not that anything was decided based on that. He does quote from the Shailos HaTshuvos, Emek Halacha, Chelek Beis Simen Yud Dalet, who takes a more significant approach to about polygraph test. And the question there is, not regarding the actual people who the Din Torah is involving, but there was a concern that the Edom might not be saying the truth. And they wanted to check the veracity of their testimony by giving them a polygraph test. So he says, that's something different. He says, because there, we're not relying on the umdana of the polygraph test to make a psak. What we're trying to do is determine if we have here an honest pair of witnesses. And even that, he says, we should not rely on a polygraph test. He says, perhaps, you know, even though there could be a different argument. Because the Gemara says, we had it in our Masechta more than once, that a dayan should not participate in a din merumah. A dying should not participate in a dishonest situation. So what's happening here is we're looking to this polygraph test to determine if the Eidim are saying the truth, to determine if the Eidim are saying the truth, and that maybe should be acceptable. And still he says, a polygraph test is not definitive in any way. He does say that if down the road there will be a situation where we can know that lie detector tests are 100% reliable, then perhaps they could be used in Beis Din to make halachic determinations. I did, however, see that the Cheshukei Chemetz says that even though we're taking a very serious approach here in the Gemara, and the Gemara is saying that the Paskin and the Torah, we have to act, the Eidim have to actually see what happened. Anything less than that would not be considered acceptable. He does want to suggest, the Cheshukei Chemetz says, that let's say Eidim did not actually see what they're testifying to. They only saw it through a video. In other words, they're watching through a short circuit TV. Or a shiloh that he discusses there is that you had Eidim that were watching, there were Eidim Kedushin, and the Eidim Kedushin, there were a lot of photographers, a lot of people under the chuppah, and they didn't actually see how Chassan is putting the ring on the Kala's finger and saying, Harei at mekudeshesli. Rather, what happened was they saw it through the camera. Would that be acceptable? And he says, since they're actually seeing in real life time what is happening, that would be considered validated.